And now, I'd like to show my love by making for you a Quebec pizza.
What's that?
Pop-Tart with the ketchup. She's good.
Daniel Palmer, San Antonio, Texas.
Hey, Doc, we better back up. We don't have enough road to get up to 88.
Roads? Where we're going, we don't need roads.
Ba-la-la-la.
It's showtime.
Welcome, everyone. This is Old School at the Movies, episode 122 for June 11th, 2015. Old School at the Movies is brought to you by the brand new TrendingTopicsNetwork.com. Check out some great shows like All Wine Aside, Anything Goes, and The Conversation. Welcome back to Old School at the Movies, your one-stop shop for all your movie-related news. I'm your host this evening, Carp. And before we get into the panel this week, let's get into the contact information. Oldschoolmovies.net is the site where you can listen, download, and subscribe to the podcast. If you want to get in touch with us, please don't be shy. Oldschoolmovies2 at gmail.com, or you can tweet us at oldmovies.net. That's oldmovies.net. So without further ado, let's get into our panel for this week. I am Carp. Along with us is Mr. Old School himself.
How's it going? I'm sick.
We have Carnage.
What's up? What's up? Thanks for having me back, guys.
We have the Iron Man of many, many episodes, Heavyset.
The proper introduction has how many episodes? Thank you very much.
I'm unaware, and it was not written in the show notes. And as well, we have Will.
Thanks for having me, Carp.
So let's get into the news and rumors for this week.
I'm Bruce Nolan for Eyewitness News. Back to you, fuckers.
So let's start off with Heavyset. You gave us two articles. What one would you like to talk about?
It's a real tough one, but I'm going to go with the Chris Farley one.
Variety.com reports that a Chris Farley documentary is set for a summer release. Virgil Films has acquired I Am Chris Farley and will release the documentary in the late summer in key markets nationwide. The film, directed by Brent Hodge and Derek Murray, includes interviews with Christina Applegate, Dan Aykroyd, Mike Myers, Adam Sandler, Molly Shannon, and David Spade. It will debut on Spike on August 10th, followed by a VOD release. The film tracks Farley from his early days in Madison, Wisconsin, and at Marquette University through his work at Second City, SNL, and in such films as Tommy Boy and Black Sheep. He died at the age of 33 of a drug overdose in 1997. The filmmakers include interviews with Farley's four siblings, including his brother Tom Jr., who wrote the biography, The Chris Farley Show, a biography in three acts. The acquisition was negotiated by Joe Amodi of Virgil Films and Murray, founder and CEO of Network Entertainment. Sounds good to me. I'm definitely going to check it out on Spike when it comes out on August 10th. Anybody else?
This is hands down for me for many reasons. To me, it sounds like it's going to be the movie version of the book. As weird as that is, you can tell what kind of book this is. Because how it's really, the book is just divided up into, they interviewed a bunch of people, and then it is divided throughout his whole life, telling the whole story from beginning to end and all that kind of stuff, varying from person to person, and there are stories with him. One of the big things that tipped me off that this movie was coming out is, all of a sudden, I got a really weird retweet by the company that is doing this, because I've been using the hashtag for my dub smashes, hashtag I am Chris Farley. Then I found out they stole my fucking hashtag, them motherfuckers. But I'm very excited about this. It's probably, if there's stuff in the book that they're able to put in the movie, it's gonna project a little bit of a different light for Chris Farley to some fans, and I'm definitely looking forward to it.
That book I actually checked out, Heavy, and it was boring as shit. You know why? I'll tell you why it's boring. Because it was just everybody's opinion, or it went back and forth from people's perspectives and stories on him. And it wasn't really a biography that kind of mapped out his life. It was, you know, like Tim Meadows would say something, or his brother would say something. But it's the whole book on that. Like, I found that extremely boring.
I don't know. To me, I'm a huge Chris Farley fan. I mean, I get that. Like, even the audiobook version, did you do audiobook or read it?
I actually read that one.
Okay, because I know the audiobook version, because I'll go back further. I tried reading this, but it was very hard to read because you're going to all, like, there's technically a bunch of different people in this book, but they're all just talking about their experience with Chris. And to keep track of all of them is something that I have trouble doing, so I listen to the audiobook. Audiobook's not much better. They have two people They have a male voice and a female voice. And if it's someone who's male, the male reads it. If it's a female, the female reads it. I think there might be another male voice in there to differentiate between a certain people. So, I mean, I get it. Even on the audiobook version, but I'm a huge Chris Farley fan, so I wanted to learn about him one way or another. And he died at such a young age, there's not a lot of his own words out there. So they have to piece his story together by those who lived around him. You're not going to get some of the his own thoughts, because I mean that could be a whole different book. But I doubt he wrote much of it down. And if it is, it's being probably guarded by his family. But I really don't think there is any of that material out there. So you got to do with what you have.
I think it's going to be something of the Kurt Cobain montage of Heck, but more of a comedic outlook and less of a super depressing Seattle rock star outlook. So,
well, I mean, there's going to be probably certain aspects of that unlike a book form, you're going to be able to actually show like footage from SNL, actually show footage from Tommy Boy, and then at the same and picture any pictures that they have, and then they'll piece everything together with the words being said by whoever they're interviewing.
Do you think they'll get the rights though, like to get the SNL footage in that, or what do you think it's just going to be like? Kind of older footage with headshots and shit like that.
I bet they get them. I would just think they would. It, to me, it makes sense. And I don't think there's many people that are like guarding the Farley
estate
footage.
Yeah.
Like SNL comedians. I mean, they probably want some money for it, but I doubt it's hard to come by.
So that's Heavy and Old School's thoughts on the Chris Farley documentary. Will, what do you have to talk about with us this week?
Well, it's just something that I learned that really shocked me. Tim Curry was getting an award, a Tony Award, for Lifetime Achievement. And I just learned that he actually suffered from a stroke in 2012. And I was totally, totally unaware. Since he was a voice actor, I kept seeing his work here and there, like in Young Justice. And I was glad he was around. But I realized that I haven't seen him in movies since 2004, I guess. He was more of a 90s actor to me. And I realized that, yeah, he suffered from a stroke. And I was not the one that was surprised. Everybody on Facebook was surprised. I'm wondering, were you guys surprised as well? Did you know this, Heavyset?
I'm not, like, a huge Curry fan, but, like, I also found the same way you did. That blew my mind because I'd never heard anything about it. And it's crazy.
Yeah. I was the same way. I was really surprised when I read about this morning. I'm sure that it got mentioned somewhere 3 years ago, like TMZ or Up Rocks or something. But usually hear somebody suffering a stroke and making a comeback or passing away. But I guess he looks rough shape in the wheelchair. It looks like he's got, you know.
Yeah.
He looks really bad shape. But he is 7 years old. I mean, with age comes health problems. So it's an unfortunate reality. It's amazing that he's still doing voice work, though. So, yeah, if you can keep going on, then just keep going on the way it is.
To me, it was just such a shock, you know, to see him in that shape. I didn't, because to me, he's always this smiling, lively, or maybe slimy character. And here he was, he just seemed so frail. And no, it was just a huge shocker for me. I didn't expect that at all. That's about it.
Yeah, very unexpected. And all the best from us to Tim Curry, hopefully.
Hey, Carp. I should ask, since this was his Lifetime Achievement Award, I was wondering, I mean, what to you defines, when you think of Tim Curry, what do you think about?
Rocky Horror, hand down.
All right, what about you, Heavyset?
Sorry. Yeah? Cross-dresser.
Yeah. You know what I find fun about that film? It's the answer to the question, who does Tim Curry have sex with in the film? The answer is everybody. I like him from Home Alone 2 a lot from my youth. Scary movie, I find him great in. The Three Musketeers as well. And also if ever you you guys can just Google or go on YouTube and look him up in Congo. He has the weirdest and thickest Eastern European accent you've ever heard that he puts on. It's hilarious.
He also gets quite the death in Congo as well.
Yeah, he does. How about you, Heavyset? What do you think of when you think of Tim Curry?
Home Alone 2 is one of the main ones because I grew up on that a lot more. Later on, even though like I'm not affected by it by a lot of other people are, but that's definitely another one I think of when I think of Tim Curry.
And Old School, can you name one film? That's all, you know.
Home Alone 2.
Cool.
I'd have to say I think he was really good in Legend. I really liked him in that role.
Yeah, or the Rugrats Go Wild.
Oh, yeah, because I'm sure we'll all know that one.
He was in Hunt for Red October?
Wait, what? I didn't know
that. Yeah, apparently he's in Hunt for Red October.
Probably plays a Russian.
He was good at accents. You know what? He always said that he was only good at being, like, he as a Brit, all he does is either a villain or a butler. That's all he would do.
Carnage, what do you got to talk to us about this week?
So I was skimming through Facebook, you know, looking at different movie news and stuff, and I noticed they're going to be remaking one of my probably top five favorite movies from the 80s, and it's going to be Big Trouble in Little China. And apparently they are casting The Rock to reprise the role of Kurt Russell's character in the movie.
Yeah.
Okay, so Carp, unfortunately, is having some Skype issues like the entire call, but we'll try to make this work. While Carp is fixing his audio, Will, why don't you read the story?
So, here is an empirical truth. Everybody loves The Rock. If you're not a fan of wrestling, there's the Fast and Furious movies. If you hate cars, there's San Andreas. If you hate disaster movies, there's the upcoming HBO series Ballers. And if you hate yourself, there's even Scorpion King. The point is that Dwayne Johnson has managed to turn himself into a likable, nice guy leading man that can deliver on the action front while also transitioning credibly into comedy without skipping a beat. Which is why I'm very excited about him potentially starring in a remake of John Carpenter's Big Trouble in Little China. So that's pretty much what the article goes through. To me, it's going to be awesome. The film was always very tongue-in-cheek as an 80s film, and The Rock would fit perfectly well with it. I don't see him as a modern-day Russell Crowe, but I realize that he does have the action beats and the comedy beats, so I find it pretty fun. What do you guys think about this?
I'm going to say, as far as being the Kurt Russell character of Jack Burton, I think going into this movie, we're going to have to look at it as a totally new movie from a different perspective, because it will ruin the old one for a lot of us, I think. Just the fact that The Rock is the top action star right now is pretty much the reason they're casting him. I don't know if that's going to be good or bad. I mean, he's going kind of high right now with San Andreas killing it. So hopefully it doesn't ruin it, because a lot of people have been saying he was the sidekick to the Asian. I do not believe that's true. I feel like Jack Burton was the main character in that, and it's pretty much his story. I would have liked it if they would have kind of continued maybe in a way, because I always wondered at the end of the movie, there's that creature, that big monster that is riding on the back of the semi while Jack Burton's talking on the radio, and then cue rock music and it ends. So you never know what happens to Jack Burton. So
everybody, spoiler for a 30-year-old movie. So, you know, in case.
Yeah. Sorry, guys.
But you know what? It's actually interesting you bring that up, because Kurt Russell was cast back then. And back then, Kurt Russell was one of the biggest action stars. He was Snake Plissken. And now we have this modern day awesome action star who's reprising the role. I'm actually more in favor of this than I am of another movie that they're remaking that I am about to throw up thinking about. Did you hear that Point Break is getting a remake?
Yeah, I'm pretty pissed about that.
Yeah. Are you pissed more about that one than this one?
I think the thing is, when it comes to 80s movies, people have just such a bad... I mean, with Ghostbusters being an all-female cast now, Poltergeist getting remade, I haven't seen it yet, so I don't know how it did as far as movie quality, but it's just we have a bad record of not really remaking these 80s movies to the standard of nowadays.
I see, but one thing, though, just so that the audience isn't confused, Ghostbusters is getting... It seems to be... two movies. There is one of an all-female cast, and there is a Ghostbusters 3 being made as well. Just letting you know. So they're able to satisfy those two groups simultaneously.
Question for you. Do you think The Rock has made it now? Because I think this is a signification that, yes, he was franchised Viagra, but now with San Andreas doing extremely well, I think he's finally made it to the point where he's like kind of the next guy.
I'll tell you when I feel he made it. It was when I saw him at the Oscars this year in February. For some reason, even though he is a huge action star, I never saw him along the leagues of DiCaprio or Tom Cruise or any of these, like, or Will Smith. But seeing him walk there, I forget which actress he was paired with. I forget which one it was, but it was also a very big actress. I realized that, you know what? He fits in. This is where he belongs. He has made it among this elite rank, and I'm really happy he did. So the answer is old school yes, and I felt it happened in the Oscars as a legitimacy. Anybody else? Heavyset, what do you feel about these remakes and The Rock?
I really don't cared that much for The Rock. I'm not a guy that goes out and runs out and sees his
movie. You're a fucking hater. What? That's all it is.
Wait, I thought you were a wrestling. Wait, so even as a
wrestler. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Just because I'm a wrestling fan doesn't mean yes. I want to, like, run out to see a Rock movie.
He doesn't know
what The Rock is cooking. That's why.
I can't remember the last Rock movie I went to go see, or I remember seeing was.
The one with Michael Bay there, the Michael Bay film, wasn't it?
No, I didn't see it.
I swear you watched it. What was it? Pain and Gain. You didn't watch Pain and Gain?
I did not watch Pain and Gain.
Oh, that was so good.
Yeah, what about Fast and Furious?
Hell no.
That was good.
That was great.
I'm not a Fast and the Furious fan.
What about Journey 2?
I think his sinuses are blocked.
Haven't seen Journey 2. Seriously, the last one I remember seeing, like when it was roughly new, was The Game Plan.
That's a long freaking time ago, dude. And,
like, a lot of his movies, I don't really care that much for.
Okay. But, like, I mean, even though I don't talk about wrestling much and I was not a huge fan growing up, I didn't have cable, I watched Blade 3 because Triple H was in it. I mean, some WWE stars just have it that I want to watch it, like The Rock as well.
He was fucking in it, fuck.
What? What? What
else? He swore a lot in the movie.
Oh, I forgot. I remember him being...
Yeah.
Because the thing, what I find awesome is that when you watch them in the ring, they're all kind of big. But when you see him amongst, like, normal actors, he looks freaking enormous. It's awesome.
I think as much as I like wrestling, there's not one wrestler out there that I'm like, oh my god, they're in this movie. I need to watch it.
Really? That's interesting. That's pretty cool.
So you don't want to see Jericho in Sharknado 3?
I'm not as big a fan as Chris Jericho. The next movie I'm going to go see that I know has a wrestler in it, but I'm not going to go see it because of him, is Amy Schumer's new movie that has John Cena in it.
What about
the whole sex scene with the fucking the Total Divas episode where she's all pissed off at him? Whatever. If that's not a work, I don't know what is, man.
The biggest work to me is Amy Schumer's ex-boyfriend is Dolph Ziggler, and supposedly she wrote this movie. And she cast a wrestler as a past love interest. What are we trying to say here?
To get you up to speed, well, John Cena has a sex scene where he doesn't perform as well as he should, so it's kind of a rib on the other guy.
Oh, I see.
By the way, I
know what work and shoot is now, so I talked your lingo. It's good stuff.
And, well, actually, according to Amy Schumer, what was it? Her and Dolph broke up because the sex was, quote, too wild?
Too athletic for her.
That's right. Too athletic. That's the way to put it.
Yeah.
Well, then you know what? She can have my number. I promise I won't be too athletic. It'll be fine.
Yeah, I think she said in a recent speech that she could catch a dick whenever she wanted, so.
Okay, great. Okay.
Speaking of catching a dick, let's move on to the movie review.
You guys are dicks. So, speaking of dicks, now it's time for my review of the week. I watched a really shitty film last week, actually 2 weeks ago. It was Aloha by someone who's supposed to be really good, Cameron Crowe, who's known for amazing successes such as Jerry Maguire and Vanilla Sky and Almost Famous. So, very, very talented director. But this film, he just messes it up. It's really boring. It's about someone who used to be an astronaut, who now isn't. I'm not sure what he does. The movie never explains it. He's in Hawaii for some reason, not really explained too well. And there is Bill Murray, who's a millionaire. That's pretty much all I know. The astronaut is Bradley Cooper. And he used to be in a relationship with Rachel McAdams. And there is also... Guys, help me out. Who played Gwen Stacy in the recent Spider-Man movies? Emma Stone is in it, too. And there is some kind of love triangle. And that's, yes, sir.
Isn't Emma Stone supposed to be Asian in it, according to the movie reviews I've read?
No. She is a quarter Hawaiian, and she doesn't look it. So the joke is that she keeps bringing it up, and everybody's like, who cares? That doesn't make you anything closer to us. So that's the thing.
Oh, so...
So it's a joke. People got it wrong.
They tried to make a joke and it just didn't help.
No, it didn't help. The movie, and also there's shots where there's a satellite in space, and after seeing films like Gravity and Interstellar, sure, the same budget's not there, But at this point, I do expect to see no better stuff. This looked like it was made. This looked like a 95 Windows computer screensaver type of thing. You know, it didn't. It looked fake. It didn't look like I was in space at all. I don't know. The movie's just a big bore. And after watching a film like The Descendants with George Clooney, that's also in Hawaii, which I don't care much for. Like, the film pretty much is. Like, the film's a love letter to Hawaii, but if you're not Hawaiian, you won't get much of what's going on. And it's too boring to care for the rest. So, to me, I didn't want to watch it. I'll confess something here. I had watched Mad Max Fury Road right before watching this. And we just walked to the movie room next door to watch Aloha after. So, I didn't have to spend any money on this film. And I'm glad I didn't.
That's illegal!
Nobody knows who I am.
What kind of person would do that?
To the FBI.
Somebody call the Mountie.
Oh, it's true. Anyways, the point is that...
At Will Maurizio on Twitter,
oh,
by
God.
The way.
Oh, God. I'm just true. I forgot.
On a quick side note, I'd mentioned to you guys how I kind of went on a couple dates with this girl who works in a movie theater. I mean, we're still talking and whatnot, but I told her what I did, and she was like, that's so bad. And I'm like, I don't care.
In any case, the film, I would not waste my time with this movie. It's got gorgeous, gorgeous people and gorgeous scenery, but that's all you'll get from it. It's too bad from a great director. So I give this 3 really crappy satellite scenes out of 10. Well, moving on, does anybody else have a review to share?
I would.
Go ahead.
I've seen The Rock in San Andreas.
So how was it?
It was fun. It was your typical disaster movie a la, you know, 2012 and Day After Tomorrow type of over-the-top disaster. Not worldwide, though, only based in California. The earthquake effects were pretty well done. The Rock surprisingly does a half-decent job at acting. The woman who plays his daughter, Alexandra Daddario, is like the hottest freaking chick on the planet. You get introduced to her in a bikini, which is amazing.
Is she hotter than any girl in Transformers so far? In the Transformers series, Megan Fox.
She's ridiculously hot. If you've seen her True Detective scene, then that's all you've had to see.
That's what I was going to say. True Detective.
I know who she is now. It's a good scene.
And then
I forget. Who is she in True Detective? It's been a while since I've seen the show.
I'm guessing the young hot one that you first see him sleep with.
Have you seen the Percy Jackson movies at all?
No.
Okay, because she plays one of the characters in that as well. She's the one that Woody Harrelson is cheating on his wife with.
Yeah, she likes the handcuffs.
So she's Asian? Oh, no, in a movie? Okay, my bad.
What? I don't get it. Is there a joke I'm not understanding?
Woody Harrelson. No, I was thinking Woody Allen. My bad, wrong one.
Woody. Oh, that's gross. That's a pedophile, joke.
That's terrible. He married her.
He did, and he also adopted her first. Okay, moving along. Carp, tell us more about San Andreas.
So, I mean, like I said, the disaster stuff was fun. Some of it was ridiculously over the top, which is normal for a, this type of disaster flick. Definitely worth a cheapy Tuesday. I highly suggest, if you enjoy a disaster flick like I do, check it out. For me, it's a 7 out of 10 on the seismic scale.
Awesome stuff. So now, guys, we're going to go on to the weekend box office. Okay, so it seems like Melissa McCarthy just can't be beaten down. I mean, I remember when I was on this podcast last time, and you had that identity theft movie, which somehow just beat all our expectations. Number one movie this week is Spy, that made $29 million. This lady cannot be stopped. And number two was the number one movie of last week, which is San Andreas, for $25 million. Number three is Insidious Chapter 3 at $22 million. So of these top three, is there any surprises? What? Oh, yeah? Insidious? What are you getting with that, Carp?
It's called Insidious. No, it's not a surprise. I'm surprised, actually, Entourage did so poorly with the amount of douchebags that probably went to see it.
I'm not going to lie. I still want to see that movie. And I've never seen the show, and I actually want to watch the show now, too.
Okay, guys, just so you know, Entourage did $10 million. Now, go ahead, speak, guys. What do you have to say about it?
It's also based on apparently some sort of bit of Mark Wahlberg's life and the people around him. The show I'm actually going to start watching. Lately, I've been watching a lot of TV shows. I finished Boardwalk Empire, so I'm going to start Entourage now because of the movie. I don't know if you need to watch the show or not, but I've heard that it's a continuation from the show, so I think I just want to go ahead and knock it out before I go see the movie.
To my understanding, you don't need to see it the show without seeing the movie, but it's suggested you see the show before the movie.
Yeah, same here. That's what I think. So, guys, number five is my favorite movie of the year so far. Mad Max Fury Road made $7.8 million.
Fuck you.
What? What do you mean?
Ex Machina. Ex Machina.
I didn't watch it yet, okay? So
we'll go watch it and then you know what?
You said the one T scene.
It was not at the movies yet. I mean, it was not the movies when I went. Anyways, Mad Max, $7.8 million.
Just throw Gone Girl back into his face, okay? Gone Girl, motherfucker.
I love Gone Girl. Okay, anyways, Mad Max is at $130 million domestic, but it's $350 million worldwide on a $150 million budget. Not too shabby. It can do very well. And I'm sure it's going to do great on what are you getting at?
They're going to end up making the trilogy like Tom Hardy signed on for. So.
Yeah, I think so. Yes. Yes. But I don't think they're doing it because they would have done no matter what. I'm doing it because people are noticing that they can actually get some good stuff out of it and good revenues too.
They were going to do it no matter what.
Yeah. Yeah. Whatever. We'll never know.
And before I forget, old school, a little side note. I happen to be looking at a website called like something that shows you books that are going to become movies, and the woman who wrote Gone Girl, another one of her books is becoming a movie.
Fuck off.
I forget
which one it is.
Which one was Gone Girl again? Is that Ben Affleck?
Yeah, it's
a piece of shit movie with Ben.
No, it's just because it scared the crap out of old school. I mean, a guy gets his dick cut off, right? I think, yeah.
Well, yeah, well it seemed like a remake of that guy who killed his wife, Peter something or Lacey something. That's what it reminded me of.
Number six was Pitch Perfect 2, which, this week was beaten by Mad Max, so take that, Pitch Perfect 2. $7.5 million, making it $160 million domestic. Number seven is Tomorrowland. Not doing too great, that movie. It only made $7 million, making it $76 million domestic at $190 million altogether. However, it did do pretty well internationally. I guess it's the Clooney factor. Internationally, it's at $170 million worldwide.
It's total gross, $170. It's a complete fucking disaster.
Yeah.
Especially because I picked it, and I'm very disappointed at the results. On a $190 million budget,
it hasn't made it back yet, and that's including international. So that's pretty crazy.
It's over.
Yeah. Okay.
Did you hear, because of that movie, there was another Disney movie? It was a Disney sequel they canceled. I can't remember what it was. Yeah, that's what it was.
They're canceling Tron?
It's being rumored decision. Because of how bad Tomorrowland did.
Oof. Okay.
But didn't Tron 2 do actually pretty well?
Tron did it okay, yes, it did. It did fine. And I had a good buzz.
I think that's stupid. Tomorrowland's a totally different movie than Tron 3.
They don't have any money left. Yeah. They got to throw everything into Marvel property.
It's Disney. Disney has a bunch
and of all the money lost on Tomorrowland going to fucking Tron 3.
As much as they charge for you to go to Disney World, I am sure they got plenty of money.
They got reamed. They got fucking reamed, okay? They need to make $400 million to make that movie, and that's not even including Prince.
Yeah, I know.
They've only made half of that. They are fucked.
Well, Disney does own Marvel, so at least...
Hey, wait. Old school, is this...
not total.
Have a new Pirates of the Caribbean coming out. That might actually do something.
No, that movie... by the way, guys, is this worse than The Lone Ranger?
In terms of overall loss,
it's as bad.
It's coming close to it, very close. I think
so. Okay, so speaking of, how good Disney can be, number eight is Avengers: Age of Ultron, which with this weekend $6 million is up to $438 million domestic. Number nine is a really shitty film called Aloha, which made $3 million, making it a grand total of an amazing $16 million. Oh, and by the way, this film has nothing international. The $16 million, that's it. That's all it is. It's just domestic. That's all there will be. Number 10 is Poltergeist, which made $2 million, making it $44 million altogether. So there you go. That rounds up the top 10. Anyways, so maybe it was lackluster last week with Melissa McCarthy, but this week's going to be pretty cool because we've got Jurassic World coming out. And I'm looking forward to it. Jurassic Park was my favorite movie as a kid. Can't wait for this. The commercial looks pretty awesome. Let's play the trailer.
We have learned more in the past decade from genetics than a century of digging up bones. A whole new frontier has opened up. We have our first genetically modified hybrid.
You just went and made a new dinosaur?
Probably not a good idea. almost 40 feet high. Really think she climbed out?
Depends.
On what?
What kind of dinosaur they cooked up in that lab. Evacuate the island. She's a highly intelligent animal. She will kill anything that moves.
Oh, God.
It's fucking creepy, man, that theme.
I was just thinking the same thing.
Yeah, they make it really creepy. It reminds me of in Avengers when they have that familiar Pinocchio song made all really, really quiet. Yeah, they've been doing, there's this trend now. There was that trend first with like the Inception music. I prefer this one. So, guys, yay or nay? I'll start with you, Heavy Set.
Absolutely nay.
What? Why?
I'm kidding. sometimes I do it for the reactions. Oh. Now, this will be a yay for me. I do have a best friend who, I have one best friend who loves this movie, and he's been waiting for this movie for like 16 fucking years, or however long it's been. And then I have another friend, actually the guy who does also the shows on the Ohio Wrestling Network. He just seen the first three movies within the past couple of days.
The first time ever?
Yes. And he's a film student on top of that. But you do the math. It's very
tough. Which one's his favorite? Did he tell you? Does he care?
He actually thinks of it like I do. Actually, this is a question I should ask everybody after you review, throw out whether you're going to see it or not. Which is better, Jurassic Park 2 or Jurassic Park 3?
Okay, that's going to be interesting. Now we're going to forget
because hands down, one is the best. But yeah, this is a yay for me.
Okay, good. So how about you, Carnage? What do you think? Yay or nay?
First off, I want to say it looks fucking badass that Chris Pratt has a pack of raptors going on the hunt with him. I think that's pretty cool. I mean, I think that it's cool that this is going to bring back a time where Jurassic Park did rule, so it's going to be a definite yay for me.
Oh, I know. While I have you, why don't you answer the question? Which one's better, 2 or 3?
See, this is kind of hard for me because part of me really is fond of Jeff Goldblum. I like some of his some of his roles in some movies. He's a unique character. But I would have to say Jurassic Park 3 because Jurassic Park 2 kind of went on its own. It went with the dinosaur in the city. I like the island factor that they're secluded and that we've tried to basically recreate dinosaurs for an exhibit like a zoo.
Sounds good.
So I would say 3.
Okay, how about you, Carp? You're an A?
Oh, this is a definite yay. If I'm not going opening night, I'm probably going the night after since we have a planned recording of All Beer Inside Episode 2 finally coming about. And as for 2 or 3, neither really hold my fancy. So, and thankfully, apparently, from what I understand, they're generally ignoring 2 and 3 in this movie as well. So
great. How about you, old school? Yay or nay?
I don't remember the first one.
What? The first movie?
That was the only one. I don't think I've seen it completely. I think I saw parts of it on TV. Never a fan of the franchise, but I really liked the trailer. So I think I'm going to revisit the old ones and then go see this.
I really recommend the first one. You know what's cool, guys, is that the first film only has 14 minutes of CGI. Mostly it's puppetry and like animatronics. And
like you got like fucking Barney in the fucking
there's actually shots of this. There's this hilarious shot. Have you guys seen those things on Facebook where you have a girl next to like a dead lion? People are like saying, "Screw this girl! What does she do? This poor animal." Has anybody seen that? Do you know what I'm referring to? People that like hunt wild game. Okay, good. Well, they made a joke. It's actually Steven Spielberg standing next to like a dead Triceratops because you know it was a real model that they made, and people were like, damn, this guy sitting next to this poor extinct creature. How dare he do it? But you know, but it's fun. It's just to show that these things were actually made real. So, old school, I look forward to hearing your thoughts on it. You'll see that it actually makes it work better, the fact that it is real and it's practical. It works really well. Okay, so, you don't know between 2 and 3. I'm a yay, of course, and I feel...
I'll go with 2.
Yeah,
two.
You'll regret it. I think 3 is better, simply for the pterodactyl scene. Okay, so that was for the big screen releases, and now let's go on to DVD releases.
DVD
DVD release.
So we got some pretty good stuff this week. Some pretty freaking terrible stuff. All right, so this week on DVD, we've got a film that just was awesome. Kingsman: The Secret Service. Carp, you recommend this movie, right?
Yeah, it's in my top five. So
that's awesome. Okay. And we all
spoiler alert: he gets the door in the poop shoot.
Okay, we've all
spoiler alert.
We've also got The Duff, a film that my brother was dragged to with his girlfriend. He says he didn't like it very much, but I don't know. I wouldn't take that advice. In any case, The Duff. We've also got Project Almanac, which old school you watched, right?
No, I'm going to check it out just for the curiosity factor, because I am a huge time travel guy.
Yeah, me too. So this one's rather interesting. It's a found footage time travel movie produced by Michael Bay. We've also got Serena with Bradley Cooper. We've also got Cupcakes, Beautiful and Twisted, and Red Army. So there you go. Anybody have anything to say about these films before we move on? No? Okay, good. So let's move on to the movie draft.
Hello. Good morning. Let's go. Let's go. Hello. Good morning.
In first place currently is still Carp, obviously, because of Avengers, but we are catching up. Carp is in first place with 482 million. I am currently in second with 191 million. Heavy Set, with only his first movie, Pitch Perfect 2, 160 million. Mop Jockey's playing the home game is in fourth, 148. Andre in fifth, 130. And Kebo Trek in second last, $97 million. Katie's yet to make any money yet. In terms of gross versus price, Heavy Set's got some excellent value so far on Pitch Perfect 2. I believe this is the highest grossing or the highest value that we've ever gotten in a draft. $16 million per $1 spent. Heavy Set, you must be patting yourself on the back right now.
Oh, of course I am. I gotta love these dumb women and taking their significant others. Yeah, because that's the most important. And teenage girls, I think, what was it? I don't know if I had mentioned on the show or not, but after it came out, I was talking to my niece. I think I did mention it. Like, I seen her on Sunday, the Friday after it came out. And she's like, yeah, I've already seen it twice. A, I was thinking, that's my girl. And second, I was like, that fucking movie just came out and you've already seen it twice. So that's your market, women and the younger audience. So I've heard bad. Like, we heard Andy with bad reviews on it, but I wouldn't be surprised if they come out with more.
Dude, very good value. You spent $10 on it. A gross of a 160. I have the second best value with San Andreas, $8 million per dollar spent. And third highest value, $7 million per dollar spent for Poltergeist, for Carp. What's coming out?
What's the value for Avengers? I'm curious.
Avengers, he's got, actually, it's not bad. He's got $6.2 million per dollar spent. So that's actually not too bad. I've got the worst value for that piece of shit that Will was talking about previously, Aloha. $2 million per dollar spent currently, and it's not going to be making that much more. Upcoming movies for this week, Andre's got the only one, which is Jurassic World, which he has spent $45 on. Let's get some numerical predictions for this week. Carnage, how much is Jurassic World making opening week?
I undercut San Andreas by $11 million. I'm going to say, let's go with $60 million. I'm gonna press my luck on this.
Will?
Opening week is going to make, I'd say, you know what? A clean $100 million.
Fucking balls to the wall. Yeah. Carp.
Yeah, I'm going to go pretty close. I'm going to say 95.
Heavy.
82.
Yeah, I think you guys are all overshooting, man. 75 for me. We'll find out next week.
But there's one thing, old school. See, you haven't watched them. You don't know the excitement. I mean, how can I say?
Listen.
Do you know what I'm referring to? Like, it's not the same. Go ahead.
There is some, like, massive excitement with this, because Jurassic Park is one of those brands of a movie that's been around forever, and it's known for how good of a movie it was. Granted, 2 and 3 weren't as good, but there's a lot of people, like my best friend, he has a son now, and he can't wait, like, to take him to go see this movie. Granted, his son is also into dinosaurs and everything like that, too, so you're going to have that aspect of it in... I think there is a nostalgia factor that will kick in with a lot of these viewers.
And not just that, but he also had, like you said, the kids are drawn into it. The toys, it's very smart. The toys have already been available at Toys R Us for a month now. So, like, the kids have seen this. Kids are anticipating this. So, parents...
Here's an argument to that. PG-13.
What was that? I don't get it. That means that they can all go in. They got parents. No,
they need to be accompanied by an adult. It's frowned upon. Dude, it's the States, man.
Dude, what was the first Jurassic Park rated?
Who gives a shit? He talked about the kids.
Pretty much same thing. The same thing. It was rated PG-13.
I was going to say two words. Chris Pratt. Star power is key right now, and I think that's going to have a lot to do with it, plus the brand name Jurassic Park. So,
that's pretty cool.
It's going to make. It's not making 100. No.
I mean, I think I was in first grade when the first Jurassic Park movie came out, and my parents took me to go see it. Then again, my dad did take me to see Bram Stoker's Dracula at a very young age, too, and I don't know if that was very appropriate. But I think
That's terrible!
Yeah, well, it was more or less...
You know, that movie is just softcore porn. You know that, right? That's what it is.
Yeah, I kind of put two and two together, like, because I actually remember that scene as a kid. I'm like, ooh, naked women. But I didn't understand it as much. But I'm saying... Well, you know, there is some parents out there, and because it's dinosaurs and it's PG-13, PG-13's not that bad. It's not like it's fucking R, like from Stoker's Dracula.
Okay, so now let's move on to feedback OSATM.
You never go ass to mouth.
You've never gone ass to mouth.
You never go ass to mouth.
I've never gone ass to mouth.
I bet you Will goes ass to mouth.
Always.
Will, do you go ass to mouth?
Do I go ass to mouth? You'll never know, or maybe you'll know very soon. Okay, moving along.
Wow.
On that note, guys, I'm never coming to Canada. Thank you for all the invites. Never gonna happen.
So from Twitter, we have the AA Andy Anderson, one of probably a billion accounts he has. Come on, you didn't like Trevor was the best fake villain ever. LOL. Did you ever see the Trevor short? And he goes to a Marvel one-shot, All Hail the King. Apparently it's got Spanish subtitles. Next we have from Devil Vamp. Emma Stone looks
Did anybody watch it? Did anybody watch the short?
I didn't have a chance to.
How about you?
Which is that the...
It's the one with the Mandarin in jail.
Ironically enough, I didn't see this tweet, but I've been looking up certain clips from that movie on YouTube for my own purposes. And that did come up, but I hadn't got a chance to watch it. I wasn't sure if that was a bonus feature on the DVD or what it was.
It is, but it was going to one shot after. Okay, sorry. Yeah,
After that, we got from Devil Vamp. Emma Stone looks so attractive in the movie, it's hard to watch.
From Aloha?
Yeah, I assume so.
You know what?
Movie.
It's not. Is she? You know what?
From what I've seen, she's in military.
Yeah. Yeah, she is. But they also don't put makeup on her. It's weird. When she doesn't have makeup on, her eyes look twice as big as they usually do. And it was very distracting. She gets hotter by the end of the film, where she puts a bit of like makeup on to contrast the eyes and the face and everything. So, but anyways, that was about it. You know what? She was as hot in the film as Scarlett Johansson was in The Winter Soldier.
Hey, a round eye.
Yeah. I guess they're trying to counteract the quarter Asian she is by making her massively round eye.
Yeah,
Some more Devil Vamp. They are trying the Dark Knight Returns Joker. Those pictures and video look horrible. I'm hoping for the best, but it looks so bad. I'm in Vamp's boat here. I think they're showing too much of Suicide Squad, and I don't know if it's going to be a first day release for me.
They're not showing it. People are just spying on it too much. Do you know what I mean?
So much. Yeah,
no, but it's not them.
You can't get that close on set to spy.
I think they're leaking it out, everything out.
They are.
Because I think they're trying, because like Marvel has a great rep right now. So they're trying to be like, okay, if we'll leak stuff out, we can get a good buzz going for us. But they're not. I mean, personally for me, when it comes to all the Suicide Squad stuff and Batman and Superman, I'm waiting to see some sort of final product. I mean, we've already seen the trailer for one movie, but I want to see something a little bit more for Suicide Squad before I go like, oh, this movie's going to be trash.
So, AA, Tomorrowland, spoiler alert, am I a bad person if I thought a 12-year-old robot was attractive? Technically, she is older than me. Hey, I believe during All Beer Inside, we mentioned if people would fuck a robot or not. So, I don't know about a pedo robot, but...
Yeah, I'd fuck a robot.
Would you fuck a 12-year-old robot?
Well, hold on. Is she really 12 or is she like 100 and looks 12?
She's designed as a 12-year-old.
I don't know. That's still weird. It's still weird.
First of all, the actress that portrayed that 12-year-old, isn't it the main character, the girl, the female role that Heavy thought was hot?
No. That's two different characters. Yeah, the female character is just a regular female character who was born on Earth and all that stuff. Girl is the little girl is a robot. And
would this be considered robopedophilia?
A little bit.
Or robophilia?
I think.
I was going to say that I guess George Clooney's not the one we got to worry about. It's Andy.
Yeah, I think he's a bit of a robophile.
It's
Andy, I'm going
to say 12-year-old robots is a fetish.
I'm saying it's a robot in general. I think you got more issues going with you when you're fucking a robot rather than the fact that it's 12 or 35.
I don't know. Go ahead.
All I gotta say is Andy is have a seat. Have a seat.
I just saw a picture of that girl, and I'm more freaked out by the fact that she would look like this than it's a robot. She looks really young. She looks like 9. I would not be able to do this.
Man, even R. Kelly's like hell nah.
No, R. Kelly would only piss on her. That's the thing.
So Will couldn't do it, but he could go ass to mouth with whoever he said he was.
Oh yeah, that's how much of a not pedophile I am. You see, that's how it works. That's how I roll. Okay, moving along, Carp. What other tweets do you have?
Devil Vamp with many capital letters and exclamation points. What a fucking cunt. Kevbo Trek doesn't want to see Bat Kid. Can we please talk about this fucking cunt? Yeah. Well, there's more about Batkid later on, so I guess we'll continue. Lots of Devil Vamp from here. Listening to hashtag OSATM in class because I'm bored as fuck. Kevbo Trek is a fucking idiot. Nice DVD segment. to old school, add old school movies. Fucking San Andreas opens with 54 million. Boom, old school finally. Returns to the top of picks.
Yeah.
Let's see. Cooper doesn't normally pick shitty written movies. Does anyone else have a hard not watching these if they are not dating someone? I believe you missed the word time.
Yeah, okay. Oh, you like Aloha and shit, right? Yeah, okay.
Or on.
I guess he's saying that Aloha was shit.
By the way, Aloha was shit, and I was with my girl, and it was still shit. It doesn't change anything.
We already mentioned The Dark Knight, and then Devil Vamp said that we all suck dick.
There you go.
I don't know why.
Fine. Devil Vamp, you suck
dick. Takes one to know one, Devil Vamp.
Hey, you guys are both sick this week, so I don't know what disease you guys gave each other while you're banking out of that.
Ask the mouth disease.
That's why
they went hashtag US ATM.
Did he say ask the moose?
Let's see. To continue with Devil Vamp, Iron Man 3 sucked because of the Mandarin? What? Are you serious? Are you insane?
What? No, yes. Sorry, go ahead.
I don't know. I like the twist personally with the Mandarin thing. So I had no complaint about Iron Man 3. Everybody else was like, screw Iron Man 3. It was the worst movie ever because of this. And nerdgasm.
It was very, very disappointing.
Apparently the internet fan base is Kermit the Frog, according to Carter.
I mean, Will probably knows this from experience. It's like taking a girl back from the bar and then turns out she has a dick. Never mind. Will would actually be more excited, but I mean that's kind of what it was. Like
that was a story between you and me. It was said you were not supposed to do this.
But that's what it felt like, because you know, had this buildup of the Mandarin, and like watch that fucking first trailer. That's why it's so badass. Tease this badass Mandarin, and then when you finally come face to face with him later in the movie, oh, it's all an act, and it's like what?
No, but I'll tell you the worst part, Heavy, is that the movie like even tries to like open like a go through the back door, you know, like what I do. Anyways, and it goes like, well, no, because the real Mandarin is actually Guy Pearce. Spoiler alert, by the way. And there's a scene where he's like, "Hey, you want the Mandarin? Guess what? I am the Mandarin." I'm like, this is freaking terrible.
Spoiler alert.
But anyways, the movie's trying to like make a cake and eat it too, and it didn't work. It sucked that he didn't get its own cake. So there you go.
I like the fact that Marvel kicked everybody in the balls. All them nerds. Hey, fuck you.
Cock talk.
Hey, one little cute side note. The Legos did actually spoil it. Because in the Legos that came out before the movie, you actually see the Guy Pearce character that looks like he has like metal all over his face. So it seems like he actually had powers all along and was a villain. So they kind of spoil it. Anyways, what next do you have for us, Carl?
From AA Andy Anderson, just watched The Call, first WWE-produced film that I've seen. I was actually impressed. Hashtag OSATM. Moral of the story, don't piss Halle Berry off. Yeah, I saw this. It was quite enjoyable. I have no problem with most WWE films, personally. I'm a fan of the See No Evil franchise. Really hoping to see a third at some point, because they can. And I'm actually going to watch Vendetta when it comes out. It's going to be Dean Cain versus Big Show, or as I see it, it's going to be Superman versus Doomsday in a prison. From Mop the Jockey, hashtag OSATM. No way I could see Bat Kid, because tears. Yeah, from what I understand, this thing is super depressing, kind of like Montage of Heck, the Kurt Cobain documentary, is super depressing as well. So,
yeah.
From Devil Vamp, thanks, hashtag OSATM, with an article posting, in the wake of Tomorrowland's failure, Disney kills Tron 3.
Because apparently, because I choose the movie for the draft, I wrote and directed and fucking budgeted this movie, apparently.
But you know, apparently, guys, it's actually a good film. That's the worst part. It's apparently a very good movie.
John Carter
syndrome. I was going to say it's like John Carter, exactly. Yeah.
We got some AA Andy Anderson coming up. First off, Ex Machina was good. I think it is a movie about old school, a cool guy, and Kev Botrek, a nerd. The dancing scene was my favorite.
I agree to that.
Then we got old school. Check out Seventh Son. The girl that plays Ava in Ex Machina is in it, and she is hot.
Yeah, but that movie sucks, though.
Ex Machina or Seventh
Son? No, Seventh Son.
Yeah, Seventh Son was pretty bad. AA, I watched Hangover 1 and 2. So what is worse, 1, getting married to a hooker, or 2, getting screwed by a chick with a dick stripper?
The hooker.
Getting married.
Better
is the hooker.
Worse is the dick.
Better is the hooker. So whatever, look, same answer.
Guys,
cock,
they're not...
talk.
They're not chicks with dicks, they're dudes with tits. That's it.
I would rather be married to a hooker.
Yeah, no, not literally fuck the dick. I'll go with the hooker. try to watch myself there.
AA, I watched Mission Impossible 96 to be ready for number 5 in July. Number 1 is still hard to follow even when you know who the bad guy is.
Yeah,
I don't know, I never had a problem following it.
I revisited it a while ago. I still don't know what the fuck.
It is complicated. They tell you who the bad guy is, sure, but like why he's the bad guy and how it's implicated and what he gets out of it, that's kind of confusing. What I find fun though is when you go back to it.
Always money.
Yeah, but Emilio Estevez is in it and he's not credited. That's the fun part I find fun. Remember that?
Yeah.
He dies like 5 seconds in.
Yes, I remember. He gets an elevator thing to the eyeball.
That's right. Yeah.
So. AA, I revisited the movie Batman and totally never realized fat Billy Dee Williams plays Harvey Dent pre-Two-Face. That's correct?
Yeah, it's awesome. He does it. Yeah, and you know, he had signed on hoping he would be Two-Face later on.
And he was
also not. He's not fat. He's not fat in the movie.
He's bigger than he was as Lando.
It's not it. He was skinny dude. It's fine. He looks fine.
From Brian at Tunes, there's nothing quite like a 1980s Jean-Claude Van Damme movie soundtrack.
Hashtag
OSATM.
I mean, it's no Rocky IV.
And we're going to finish. Yeah, no. That'll beat the Rocky IV montage soundtrack.
No, Rocky IV is the best soundtrack. By the way, it is the first soundtrack I owned as a kid. I wanted my mom to go buy it. It was too good. And also, it gets to have Eye of the Tiger in it as well.
Back to AA at oldschoolmovies.net. If you liked Ex Machina, you should like the movie Chappie. Yeah, Ex Machina is leaps and bounds above Chappie.
Yeah, no, Chappie blows. Chappie blows giant dicks.
Whoa, hold on a second. I like Chappie.
What?
If anybody knows about blowing
dicks,
it's Will.
Even with those, like, what are they called? Ninja and whatever that dude is, you see him most of the time?
The funny, I find...
Oh, from,
What the fuck are they called? That band?
They're freaks.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
I find the weirdest shit funny, okay?
Okay.
I don't know, just random shit I'll start crying at.
But you're liking it for the wrong reasons. You're liking it like everybody likes The Room. Is the difference? No,
I know, but listen... When the robot starts going off and, like, swearing and going all gangster, I was pissing myself. Because here's, like, this guy, the creator, taking care of the robot, nurturing it, showing slowly how to do stuff. And within, like, 3 hours, the other guys have corrupted him. He's going around jacking cars, stabbing people, fucking swearing at people. It's just great. Like, I want a gangster robot.
So old school. Does that mean you are a Short Circuit?
Yeah, needless to say, the two people from Die Antwoord didn't really have to be in that.
Oh, that's true.
I like Short Circuit. I like Short Circuit. Kebo Trek's the retard that didn't like it.
Los Locos kick your ass. That's all I gotta say.
From Double A, Hugh Jackman's character is a huge brick in the movie Chappie. Oh, he is one of the antagonists.
Yeah, he is.
So, yeah.
He was so good in it. He was so good in it.
How was his hair?
Who cares?
No, his hair is great too. Fucking
mullet.
Yeah, it was the mullet, yeah.
Oh, fuck. I can't believe you didn't like that movie.
I didn't watch it.
Dude, watch it before you come.
No, I am so. God, I don't want to watch those freak people. Just
for the robot fucking going gangster, it's worth it.
Anyways, moving along.
Is it the voice of Chappie also?
Yeah, it's him.
The guy that played in District 9 and Powers, right?
Charlton
Copley.
Yeah, I like
Charlton.
Charlton Copley. Charlton.
Yeah, and finally from Double A. Okay, Hot Tub Time Machine was funny. The sequel was fucking stupid. Project Almanac makes more sense. Hey, if you like the first Hot Tub Time Machine and you don't like the second half somehow, then you suck because the second one was just as funny as the first.
You went and pissed Carp off now.
Yeah.
But you know what?
You know why? Because you're a fucking nerd and no one likes you.
You're a fucking nerd.
Carp, reminds me
of that part.
Anchorman. Anchorman 1 had this like huge acclaim, and then Anchorman 2, which to me is very much the same thing, just gets crapped on because it's being same as you know, similar to the first. I just don't get it. It's if you like, I mean, if you like one, why wouldn't you expect the same from the next one? I don't know. That's what I find weird.
I mean, in the second one, somebody takes a shotgun to the dick. So, come on. That's all I gotta say.
To the dick.
Shotgun to the dick.
All right, good. So now, final plugs. Carp, what do you have to plug for us?
Well, first off, I finally supported the first Kickstarter project I've supported, which would be nice. Troma's Return to Nukem High Volume 2. Hashtag Save Nukem High. They're like $7,000 off from completing their $50,000 goal. They just need post-production money to clean up the sound and pick and color. You know what? If you're a fan of independent films, you should definitely donate to these guys. Troma's been kicking ass in independent film for the last 40 years, and they're just going to keep going. So please go support them on Kickstarter. And as always, StableWars.com. Need new members. Come play games. Money in the Bank, Play-Per-View, and UFC Play-Per-View are open this week.
Good stuff.
You're full of shit.
Hey, Carp, what do you get?
He's full of shit.
Carp, what did you pick for your Kickstarter, and what did you get out of it?
I did $50. I get the Blu-ray signed. My name will be in the credits at the end, and I'm supposed to get something else. I forget what.
Is Kaufman signing it?
Carp's full of shit. You know why?
Signed by Kaufman.
That's awesome. Yes, what is it?
I know for a fact that he donated to Veronica Mars.
Yeah, no. Not quite.
So good. That's why I made so much money. It was all Carp money.
Yeah.
Okay. Half of it was Carp with the fucking big reward.
Yeah.
There.
What was it?
You get to walk on set or something.
They needed like $3 million and I totally donated half of it.
Yeah.
She gives you a handy for $3
million. Well, now, with the Save Nukem High, if you donate $10,000, you get to hang out with the Kaufmans for a weekend in his house in New York.
Pretty cool. For a weekend. Pretty awesome. You give how much?
$10,000.
That's not that bad.
Nope.
Not bad. Pretty cool. Okay, so how about you, Carnage? What'd you got to plug for us?
For your ass?
Yeah, I was going to make that joke, damn it. Go ahead.
Beat you to it. You can follow me at Carnage0228 on Twitter. I will be looking into the Kickstarter for Troma because I will say I was a big Toxic Avenger fan. I will ask you, Carp, are they given any type of memorabilia from any Troma movies?
It's got to be like... Yeah, it's going to be from this movie, but it's got to be high up there. It's like $500 or something to get memorabilia.
Yeah, because I wanted to support the Super Troopers one because they were giving out some cool shit too.
How about you, Heavy Seth? What you got to plug for us?
Yeah, nothing much for me. No, because I kept.
Hey, Kevbo, get out of here. Why you got the podcast? I thought you were on this week, Kevbo. Sorry, go ahead.
Resident Evil, such a great movie.
Go watch that.
at Heavyset 330. I know there's I'm working on some stuff for the Ohio Indie Report because Absolution is coming up for AIW and the main event is absolutely fucking sick. It is like a six-man tag match, I want to say, and literally the one team is quote, the name is Dudes on TV. So we're talking EC3, a bunch of other motherfuckers, and Samoa Joe, for those wrestling fans. WrestleCast, check that out. I will be hosting this week. And what else was I going to throw out there? I know we are working on episodes for Anything Goes and NFL Easy Picks, hopefully within the next couple weeks. Trying to do a double recording.
All right, now I've got some butt plugs for everybody, too. Well, firstly, if ever you never heard of this before, there's a bunch of really old-school, awesome comic book reviews on comicbooksftw.com. So you've got, the first issue of Spider-Man, of Batman, reviewed by me and some other very talented fellows. And also, if anybody out there actually likes Transformers or collecting Transformers, I'm on Seibertron.com, Seibertron.com, and I've got these cool top 10 articles anybody can read and have fun about. So there's that too. From Carp, Carnage, Old School, Heavy Set, and Will, we wish you all an awesome week. Take care.
From the director, who managed to avoid unnecessary sequels up to this point, comes a completely unnecessary sequel. Only this time, it's the second time. The Lost World, Jurassic Park. Shouldn't that title be the other way around? No? Okay. You loved Jurassic Park for its awe-inspiring wonder, subtle humor, and likable characters. Now, get ready for a generic runaway from dinosaurs movie with more deaths, more dangling vehicles, and more giant practical T-Rex heads passing next to things. Pushing into things. And moving behind things. Because those heads cost a ton, and Spielberg is gonna get his money's worth, dammit. Meet a cast of humans who still haven't learned one thing from the first time.
I'm not making the same mistakes again.
You're making all new ones.
Featuring the return of your favorite wisecracking side character from Jurassic Park. As a boring, neurotic dad.
Gee, that hurts my feelings. Did your mom tell you to say that?
Who's just there to rattle off the trailer lines?
Mommy's very angry.
Proving once and for all that a little Goldblum goes a long way.
You'll have to get used to Dr. Malcolm. He suffers from a deplorable excess of personality.
Along for the ride is Ian's daughter.
Do you see any family resemblance here?
A gymnast and total slob who's personally responsible for the low point of the franchise.
Hey, you!
Okay, second lowest point.
Alan!
Then, get to know Ian's paleontologist girlfriend, Sarah. She's the worst. Watch as this bumbling Miss Magoo constantly harasses the dinosaurs, steals a baby T-Rex that gets Toby from the West Wing killed, walks around with T-Rex blood on her jacket, even though she's supposed to know better.
Tyrannosaurus got the largest proportional olfactory cavity of any creature in the fossil record.
And generally makes life harder on everyone else around her. Wait, are we supposed to be rooting for the dinosaurs or the people? Stare helplessly as the creatures who were once treated with reverence and restraint are transformed into over-the-top killing machines, where the mighty T-Rex becomes a generic monster and the claustrophobic raptor kitchen scene from the first film becomes Jurassic Benny Hill. So try to enjoy the ride, then try to enjoy the climax to the ride that feels like it was bolted on from a different movie, as Spielberg runs out of things for dinosaurs to do in the jungle and ships one off to San Diego for a 20-minute Godzilla parody in an extended dinosaur money shot that we all thought had killed the franchise, but we had no idea what was coming.
Alan!
Alan!
Starring...
Yes.
Julianne Less. Vince Yawn, Santa Claus, Michaela Maroney is not impressed, Pete Postlethwaite, screw it, Kobayashi, Oedipus Rex, and a whale's vagina, to Jurassic 2 Furious.